The U.S. Army has been the focus of much of the scrutiny regarding the treatment of Iraqi prisoners. But the U.S. Marine Corps also is responding to allegations of prisoner abuse. Two cases reveal how the Marines have handled those allegations. NPR's Libby Lewis reports.
Nagim Sadun Hatab, a ranking Ba'ath Party official, died in the custody of the Marines. It was last June the 6th at an old Iraqi army barracks near An Nasiriya. The Marines were using the barracks as a temporary detention facility. They called it Camp Whitehorse. An initial autopsy showed Hatab had several broken ribs and other injuries when he died. A medical examiner initially found that Hatab's throat had been crushed. But defense lawyers say it is not clear what caused his death. Sergeant Gary Pittman, a Marine reservist who was a guard at Camp Whitehorse, and Major Clark Paulus, the camp commander, face courts-martial in the case surrounding the death of Hatab. The charges cover the mistreatment of other Iraqi detainees at Camp Whitehorse. The Marines are tight-lipped about this case because it's still open. Marine Lieutenant Amy Mulligani read from a statement about the charges.
The charges in this case stem from evidence that certain individuals held at the facility did not receive humane and fair treatment in every instance.
Initially, the investigating officer in the case recommended that Major Paulus face only administrative charges, but the commanding general overrode the investigator and called for more stringent charges. Major Paulus now faces charges of dereliction of duty, cruelty and maltreatment, and assault. Military lawyer Jack Zimmerman believes that decision was meant to send a message that abuse of prisoners won't be tolerated.
I believe it reflects the Marine Corps' stern approach to discipline and ensuring that Marines in the field comply with all the appropriate regulations, conventions, and treaties.
Zimmerman represented one of the eight Marines initially charged in Hatab's death. The charges against his client were dismissed after a hearing to consider evidence in the case. The second case, not reported until now, was far less serious. It, too, involved an Iraqi prisoner of war. On May 15th last year, the Marines arrested an Iraqi named Najabi El-Shami. NPR obtained a copy of the Marines' investigation. It says the U.S. believed El-Shami was a former Iraqi intelligence agent and that he had ties to terrorist groups. Marines assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, held El-Shami for several hours in an empty warehouse near Karbala. Lance Corporal Ryan S. Roberts allegedly held his pistol to El-Shami's head and posed for a photo. Another Marine may have draped El-Shami with an American flag. One Marine allegedly tied two wires hanging from the ceiling into loops and mimicked what the investigator dubbed a mock torture scene. The next day, El-Shami complained. Within 5 days, the Marines had completed an investigation. In October, Roberts was charged with dereliction of duty, cruelty and maltreatment, and assault. Two other Marines also faced charges. In January, they faced courts-martial. All three were sentenced to some confinement, a reduction in rank, and had to forfeit pay. Colonel Thomas Scully is a staff judge advocate for the 1st Division of the Marines.
I think that the Marine Corps approached these cases appropriately and acted swiftly and expeditiously.
Steven Salzberg, general counsel of the National Institute of Military Justice, said he thinks this case is a model of how the military should respond to prisoner abuse. He said fooling around like the Marines did in Karbala might seem harmless.
But I think good commanders know that if you don't stop that kind of behavior, and you don't send a message that it won't be tolerated, that the next thing that happens is that the gun is not just being held for the photo op, that worse things are happening.
In other words, they know that small incidents can soon turn into big ones. Libby Lewis, NPR News.